The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I meet so many people who know Jesus but are still really bound.
Next on Life Today, Women of Faith speaker and author Lisa Harper.
I thought, man, if every woman could hear those kind of words directly from the Lord and be freed from the I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not pretty enough.
Stay tuned to discover the wild side of Jesus and be freed to live and love with abandon.
You know, it really is. It is a joy to be able to share this time with you. I wish we could be sitting right there, wherever you are. You say, oh, you don't want to see me. You don't know where I am. Well, hey, it's okay. I really wish we could be that close. It's impossible. I want to be with people. I want to encourage people. And so thank you for giving us this opportunity. You're going to be blessed, and you hear the story of our guest, Lisa Harper, who will really talk to you about the challenges that some people would say, no way you get through it. I'm James Robinson, my wife Betty, and I welcome Lisa Harper. Let me just hold up this book that's titled, I think about this, Untamed, How the Wild Side of Jesus Frees Us to Live and Love with Abandon. And she wrote a book also called The Perfect Mess. And I have an idea that she was pretty well convinced that she was the perfect mess.
That's right.
But there is no challenge too big for God. Would you welcome Lisa Harper to Life Today? Lisa, good to see you.
Thank you, James.
How's everything with the women of faith?
Oh, everything's awesome. I got tickled when you said that book, A Perfect Mess. A woman came up to me last week at Women of Faith and said, I love your book, One Hot Mess. And I thought, I should like that title better. I think that's a good title. But I love being with Women of Faith. It is just an incredible
group. And we love all the women of faith. I mean, we love all the speakers. I know they've divided it now into East Coast, West Coast,
so
they're covering more territory, but we love, give them all our regards.
I will.
I want to ask you about the book. I mean, you really talk about, can I read one thing that really jumped out at me, and something you've done in addition to what you've shared. She actually starts each chapter with a quote, a significant quote from someone else. Not all of her book is filled with significant quotes, what she's sharing out of her heart. Very significant. How to help you find meaning in your own life and really find a freedom that some people never imagined possible when you really have a lot of weight and heaviness pushing on you from all the circumstances and challenges in life. But listen to this quote. God loves us not because we're lovable, but because He is love. Not because He needs to receive, but because He delights to give. Mm-hmm. Real important for us to grasp that. Who said it? C.S. Lewis. Mm-hmm. And you really introduce each chapter with a meaningful quote. But can I ask you, Betty, why don't you told me you wanted to ask her something I thought was a very
give us a definition important. Of what you mean by untamed.
By untamed? Well, I'll give you a definition by giving you another quote. Mm-hmm. Toward the end of the book, I quote a guy named Steve Brown. I love all the old dead theologians, but he's actually still alive and kicking. And Steve Brown says that so many Christians experience freedom the way a dog experiences freedom from a taxidermist. They're stiff. And Jesus wants us to experience freedom the way a dog would experience from a veterinarian. They may be barking and slobbering, but they're free. And that is really the untamed side of Jesus that I've experienced. I used to be much more comfortable with Jesus as kind of the warm, fuzzy, gentle Jesus. Mm-hmm. I needed Him to be smaller, to be safe to me. And the more I've grown as a woman, especially in the areas of dealing with the shame that came from childhood molestation, I needed the warrior Jesus, mm-hmm. because the dragon of shame in my heart was so ferocious that only warrior Jesus could kill that dragon. That's so good. I started exploring the Jesus in the Gospels that doesn't always make it to the flannel graph board. You know, the bigger Jesus, the one with a sword, and it has really changed the last few years of my life.
When I heard that title, the thought that came to me was not out of control,
right,
but in control of Him, but
right,
if God wants to take you on the edge a little bit, not
That's
being
right.
afraid to rest in Him and let Him go where He wants to.
That's right,
take
because I meet so many people who know Jesus but are still really bound. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the way I was for so many years. Mm-hmm. You know, I met Jesus when I was a little girl. I was 5 or 6 years old. And I knew that I needed God. What I did not understand was how much God delights in me. I thought He just tolerated me. But to really get God's delight and to actually be released from shame. You know that woman in Scripture who was bent over? Mm-hmm. I feel like I was just bent over by shame. I looked okay on the outside. I'd memorized a lot of verses, but inside I feel like part of me was really crippled. And so I so identify with that woman in Scripture that when she finally has that dramatic encounter with Jesus, she can stand up. Right. And that's what the last couple of years have been like for me. I feel like I've stood up.
You know, while you're talking, I'm getting all kind of images. I'm seeing, in these thoughts come to, I'm seeing caged Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It's like church people living in a cage.
That's right.
They don't live like they're free.
That's right.
And walking in liberty with responsibility, but they're just held captive by, a friend of mine referred to something as sin management, rather
right.
than being lifted above that. Now, you talked about shame. Am I wrong to share that I sense and I observe that the church is part of the mm-hmm. practice of putting shame on people who have failed in some
right.
way and putting you down? Did they ever contribute? Did anybody contribute to you feeling like dirt or unworthy or shamed?
Right. Well, you know, I don't think that anybody in the church intentionally put that bondage on me, but I think because I heard so many messages about being clean and being pure, and even though I'd been molested as a little kid and it was out of my control, I thought, I'm dirty. I mean, if anybody really knew those chapters of my story, I wouldn't fit in this circle of clean Christian people. And so, again, I don't think it was intentional, but I definitely heard the message that you better keep that part hidden because that'll make you look messy and really unworthy. I think that was the feeling that came along with the shame for me was I felt so incredibly unworthy.
You know, you share in your book that when your parents separated, you had some neighbors or some other mm-hmm. people that called you a name. That would think that would have hurt.
Yeah, it did. I was playing on a jungle gym. You know, we don't play on those much anymore, I think, because of litigation. But we used to play on these, basically a big piece of scaffolding in the backyard. And I was playing with my back door neighbor, and her mother always scared me a little bit because her mother was really loud and wore these very loud Bermuda shorts. And she even whispered loud. But her mother came to the back fence and called my friend down. I was probably 7 years old, and she called my friend, I'll just say her name was Becky, and she said, Becky, come down here. And I could hear the whole time we'd been pretending like we were princesses and our princes were below us. So I'm still up at the top pretending I'm a princess. And Becky's mom called her to the fence and she said, you can't play with Lisa anymore because her parents divorced. That little girl is trash. Mm-hmm. And I can just remember being so stunned because I didn't know I was trash. Mm. But that name really kind of underscored what I had begun to sense from the way some men had treated me, from my parents divorcing, and then to have this loud neighbor in Bermuda shorts, you know, just definitely seal the deal that I was trash and unworthy. I believe that for a long time. I tell people the dragon of shame sometimes would sleep in my heart, but when he woke up and roared, man, he said some ugly things, and I believed him.
Well, yeah, the enemy does tell us, and
he'll
make us think we're alone, and we're
That's
the
right.
only, we're nobody's
That's right.
as bad as we have been.
That's right. And if anybody really knew my story, there's no way they would accept me. Yeah, the coolest thing happened recently, just a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to tell y'all. I was at a women's conference, real small event, just about 100 women. And at the very end, I never do this. And especially, I wouldn't do it in a big crowd, but I felt compelled to have women who had been sexually or physically abused to stand up and for us to kind of have an Ebenezer in a time where we prayed to really be free. And so women started standing up, and I realized halfway through this, oh, yikers, might not should have done that. That could be kind of shaming. But these women stood, about half of the 100 women stood up. And I just felt compelled to start speaking to each woman. And, you know, I grew up Baptist, so we don't boogie and we're not that demonstrative, so I don't usually do things like that. But I stood up and I started speaking to each woman. And to one woman, I knew her name. And I called her name and I just said, you are not dirty. Mm. And she just immediately began to weep. And I went on, talked to a few other women, and then we prayed a prayer from the New Testament, the prayer in Romans that says no longer are, well, no, that's from Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, we pray that no longer are you deserted or your name desolate, but you are Hephzibah, that God delights in us. And then from Romans, that there is now therefore no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So we talked about those two definitions now that we're in Christ. And then we had just a real sweet time of prayer. And I didn't think really much else about it until that woman came up to me the next day. And she said, when I stood up last night, I really almost regretted it, because she's a leader in her church. Her husband's a leader. And she said, you know, we have a really strong marriage. And I thought, I might not should have stood up, because people might have thought something had gone on in our marriage. But she said, I really felt the Holy Spirit prompting me. And she said, when you begin to talk to women, I said, oh, Jesus, please, please, please have her say, I'm not dirty. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'd said to other people, you are worthy, or you are not fat. And she said, when you turned and you called my name, and she said, you're the only person that you called by name. I'm the only person you called by name. She said, and you said, you are not dirty. She said, that's exactly what I'd ask God to have you say. And she said, you know, nobody, even my husband, nobody knows I felt dirty all these years because she had an adult man molest her when she was a little girl. Mm. She said, I've been to Christian counseling. My husband and I have a great marriage. But she said, there's a little part of me that's still affected by that. And she said, when you spoke that, she said, it's as if the Lord said, you aren't, honey, you are not dirty any longer. You don't have to wear that. And I thought, man, if every woman could hear those kind of words directly from the Lord and be freed from the, I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not pretty enough, I'm dirty. If they could really hear God's voice saying, you are so much more beautiful and so much more worthy than you've ever dreamed possible, we'd have a totally different culture.
Did anyone ever confront you in a way or say something mm-hmm. that helped you understand here is an area where God wants to do a work,
oh,
and where you
absolutely.
Can see this other side of Jesus mm-hmm. and perhaps this wild side, so to
right.
speak, this conquering Christ rather
that's
than
right.
this nice little
Christ,
quiet
right.
Jesus.
Right.
You saw
in
it as a conqueror.
That's right.
Did something happen to help you?
I did. I was speaking with women of faith, and I got to do this. This sounds so crazy, but they had me do, do you remember the Beyonce song, Single Ladies? And you know, I'm 47 and single, so I did kind of the Christian riff on the Single Ladies and did a little dance on stage, which I was mortified. I know, I've gotten freedom. But I actually was so nervous about it. I met with a choreographer in Nashville to get these little moves, and you, they weren't trashy, they were sanitized Christian moves. But the first time I went to do this dance, I ran up on stage, and you know, I've been teaching for years and years. That doesn't mean it's always good, but I am used to running up on stage with a microphone. I ran up to the camera, and I looked in the camera, and there's, you know, 12,000 women, and I just froze. And I thought, oh, yikes! I couldn't remember the first move, and so I just thought, well, I'll just start gyrating, because I couldn't remember my little dance. Well, that started the season of real anxiety. The next couple of months, I felt like I was all the time vibrating, and I got dry mouth. I got nervous on the way to the airport. And I thought, Lord, what is happening? All of a sudden, this anxiety has started welling up in me. And that's when I realized, you know, I've got some dragons, kind of like Mary from Magdala, that I have not dealt with. And this is probably God's way of poking me and saying, you need to deal with this stuff. And so I went to basically a Christian therapeutic program for 9 days. And it was like rehab, but for the heart. Mm-hmm. And the president of that program got in my face on probably the second or third day. And he just said, you are a hypocrite. And he said, by not really walking in the freedom that Jesus had given me over even the hard things that had happened when I was younger, that I was not really living the grace that I taught. And, you know, in that moment, I thought, he's exactly right. I could have fussed and said, but I was just a little girl, and, you know, I never really got closure because those men never said they were sorry for what they did. But I thought, he's exactly right. I have not said, Jesus, help me, I'm stuck. And that's why I think all that stuff was bubbling up. And so I, for 9 days, basically really worked through some stuff. And I tell people, I'm not fixed, but I'm freer than I ever dreamt that I could be, and just have the sweetest relationship with this much bigger Jesus than I had imagined him to be.
I wish that our guests could tell their whole story, the whole journey. Mm-hmm. That's why they write books. And this is, Lisa's a wonderful communicator. And she's had challenges. A lot of you might say, well, you know, here she is, she's not married. I mean, she's still mm-hmm. single, and she's pretty, and she's got talent. You know, how does she handle all of that? And
carbohydrates.
How do you handle James,
carbohydrates. You know, there are days that are really hard. I had a woman come up recently and ask me, she said, how did you get victory here? And I said, well, not all days are victorious. You some days are sad. So Valentine's, when you're eating a lean cuisine, watching the television in your, you know, your friend pants, that's not a good day. But most days, to really begin to walk in the fact that he promises that he's a husband to the husbandless and a father to the fatherless, it's what he promises in Psalms. There is an intimacy with Jesus that I probably wouldn't know had I married younger. And quite frankly, I was so broken when I was younger. I was drawn to abusers. So I always say God protected me from them. And the few really good men I dated, God protected them from me because my heart was so damaged. And so I trust God's timing. Now, I wish gravity hadn't taken hold. I would have liked to have married younger. But I still believe if that's His will, I'll have a husband in the flesh. I think years ago I was on your show and I said, 1-800-588, please call Lisa for a date. But you know, more importantly than that, the kind of intimacy and contentment you can find with Jesus, if you really run to Him with everything, even the broken places in your heart, is better than I would have imagined in my 20s or 30s.
And we all need that.
Absolutely.
That
you need that married or single.
Yes, that's absolutely.
Right. That's right.
You know, I encourage you to get the book. Let me just add this to what she said to try to apply the feeling of aloneness or loneliness that you can feel. I'm married to an absolutely awesome, precious wife, and we just have an incredible relationship. It's not just something we're talking about. It's great. But let me tell you what I experience sometimes, and I think, Lisa, you can identify, and if we see this together, all of you see it, I think it'll be helpful to you. God has allowed me to identify with the heart of the Father and the heart of Jesus. And the Lord's made it real clear to me that some of those most challenging moments in His life, well, when you realize how alone He was mm-hmm. as it related to people. Mm-hmm. Remember when He saw that the disciples had fallen asleep in His greatest right. hour of needing friends? Mm-hmm. Could you just wait? Could you just pray an hour?
Yeah.
Whole bunch is asleep. He looked at them one day and said, will you also go away, the very people He had poured His life in? That lonely feeling?
That's right.
Well, I feel that. But let me tell you what I take from that. I'm identifying with Him. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I identify with His heart because what He's wanting for all of us, Lisa, He's wanting us to come into a fellowship
right.
first with the Father and then to see a family
right.
that learns how to fellowship
that's
and
right.
how with the comfort we receive, we comfort one
that's
another.
Right.
That's what you're trying to do here.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're not through being comforted.
No.
And you're not through
no.
needing comfort, and you
right.
aren't either. But let me just tell you where Betty and I find incredible joy, and I'm just saying this to you. I like to comfort others and help others, but I also take comfort mm-hmm. in identifying with His sorrows, mm-hmm. in identifying with His sorrows. Paul did that.
That's right.
It was important to him to know
that's right.
his sufferings
mm-hmm. that's right.
and the fellowship of his sufferings. There is fellowship in
that's
identifying
right.
with the heart of God and the heart
that's
of
right.
Jesus. Father, I pray we'll all learn mm. that and that mm. we will be an expression of your heart mm. for your glory in mm. Jesus' name. Let me tell you something I've found. When you begin to release the river of God's love, you'll be amazed at how rapidly and how in a very meaningful fashion that river flows in.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll say, Lord, I'm going to release everything you pour in, I'm letting it out.
That's
and you
right.
release that love. One of the greatest expressions that we found, and boy, Jesus knew what He was talking about, when He said, if you just give a cup of water in My name, you won't lose your reward. You say, what reward is that? Heaven's reward, mm-hmm. the blessing of the Father. You bless others with the Father's blessing, and you watch what happens in your life. I'm going to show you where you can bless someone right now mm-hmm. and join with us in giving life. Look at this.
Life's mission teams have traveled the world over and discovered firsthand the hardships and heartaches poverty-stricken families suffer because they have no other choice but to collect water from unsafe sources.
The tragic result of having to drink diseased water is the massive number of children who die every day from waterborne illness. And this killer knows no boundaries. In a rural Central American village, Maria grieves at the loss of her baby, who died at 6 months of age from a high fever caused by drinking diseased water. On a windswept hill in Madagascar, Lelo takes our team to the unmarked grave of her 7-month-old baby girl, Fanun, who died because Lelo had no other choice but to provide water from a contaminated river. In this rural Cambodian village lives the Fal family, who lost their little one, Yoy, after drinking water from a disease-infested river that has taken the lives of other children in their village. Stories like these are all too familiar to the poor, living in destitute conditions all around the world.
It's filthy. Well, this is where people come to get water. It just makes me want to lay my head down and just start crying, because it's all people have. And I'm asking you, please, let's replace this with fresh, clean water. I hope you saw that little fella's face pretty close there on your screen. He is looking like, anybody notice? I don't know what goes on in their little minds when they see somebody maybe strange that's come as a missionary and caring, but I know what that child needs, love and an opportunity to have a life. And that child is precious to God. Betty, we can give little areas and villages a fresh source of water. We can drill water wells. We can provide it. It's not wishful thinking. It's reality. We're committed this year to drill only with the help of people like you. Only someone like you saying, I'll give a cup of water or I'll help with a well of water to provide many cups of water. It's the only way we can do it. But we have committed to drill, with your help, 415 more water wells in 15 countries. And we're asking you to help. Betty, I'm praying that there wouldn't be a viewer watching that wouldn't say, I'll at least do something. $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. The wells are $4,800. And we join together and we can do it. And it's the only way we can do it is by joining together.
It is, James. And I hope you will join with us. You know, when you watch something like that and you see how filthy, just with the visible eye, how filthy that water is, well, it's much worse than what you're seeing when it gets into their little bodies. And you say, well, how could that mother give that baby that water? That's all they have. They have to have water. And so she's giving them what she has, what she can find for them. And so please join with us, and let's not only help the children to survive, but to help that mother, because she loves that child with her whole heart.
I'm praying that you would simply go to the telephone and really offer, as Jesus said, a cup of water. Here's what I encourage you to do. And I know you're sitting and you're thinking, oh, this is terrible. Is there something we can do about it? Yes, there's something you can do about it. If you can help provide water for 10 people the rest of their life, and so many of these little children in such tremendous need, many of them die, you know, before they're just a few years of age. Many die before they're 5, and most of the deaths come from contaminated water sources. If you would dial the number and take a bank card, and you use it so often, thank God you have it. Use it like it's cash. That's how you should use it. But if you take that card and make a gift of $48, or if you could, and I always am going to challenge you, help as many as you can. And I think you want to. $144 will give 30 people water for the rest of their life. This is a single gift that just keeps giving. And if you could drill a well, we have many friends who tell us, as individuals and as couples, we love to give a well. It's been one of the great highlights of our life to do it. Perhaps you never have, perhaps you have before. Would you join us again? $4,800 will do that. Or perhaps you say, James, I'm not able to do that, but I can give half a well with a gift of $2,400 and pray someone joins you, or $1,200 and pray 3 people join you. We have some special gifts for you. We have the Father's Heart Bronze for those of you who will give a portion of a well and pray others will join or give a well. We want to bless you, and we thank you for making that call or going online, lifetoday.org. If you write a check, please call us and tell us what you're putting in the mail. And from the bottom of our heart, we thank you in behalf of those you're helping.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I have spent my day traveling up and down this river. We have seen the graves of children that have died because they drank from this river. We want to do something about it. Mission Water for Life can drill wells, but we need you to respond. This is a global problem. This isn't just isolated to this river. This river is just a small picture of rivers worldwide. The need is desperate and urgent. Open your heart and give freely so these children won't die.
I want to mention again in the bookstores Untamed, Lisa Harper. What a journey she's been on. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks for Lisa? Thank you for being with us, Lisa. God bless you and bless you. Thank all of you for watching, and we really thank you for your help.
Listen, in order to go anywhere, we got to leave someplace. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Tomorrow, Beth Moore reveals the God of all comforts. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.